the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We'll be reading again from Hebrews chapter 6, our scripture that we've been looking at in the treatment of the first principles of the oracles of God. We've been doing this now for so many weeks. We are treating the last part of these seven principles of the oracles of God, which is the eternal judgment. But before we go on, let's read the scripture again together. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permits. We've been dealing with the last part of these issues, and that is of eternal judgment. Last week, when we came your way, we were dealing with the conclusion of the two parables, the parable of the tears and the parable of the pounds. Before we go on today, we would like to bring that back again a little bit. But what we shall be dealing again today in the issue of eternal judgment is found in Matthew 25, and I want to read from verse 31 to 46. Matthew 25, and we want to read from verse 31 to 46. And it says, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king," I want you to note here he's sitting as the king. It is important that at this time that he's sitting as the king, by this time he has returned as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at his second coming. Verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hunger, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Here again, the Lord is dealing with the issue of eternal judgment, but we describe this judgment here, recorded in Matthew 25 that we have just read, as the judgment of nations or judgment of the Gentiles. But before we go on to explain some of the things here, I also want you to note here that we are dealing with the issue of eternal judgment, and that before this eternal judgment, the scene of this judgment, of course, will be after his second coming, after the tribulation must have taken place, and the Lord himself is here in his glory. You see here that the scripture we have read is talking about his glory. The king will come, and he seated as a king to judge. So we see here in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So at this time, he's sitting at the throne of his glory. And one of the first things that he will do is to judge the nations and to judge them according. We are going to see the essence of this judgment, the rule of this judgment. Please, let's go back a little bit to parables that we look at and bring us something there to strike again very clearly for us the difference between being sent into outer court and then being sent into a lake of fire. If you go back to Matthew 25 and we look at verse 30, it says there, And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You will see that immediately this is dealing with the parable of the talents, when talents were given, and one of them came back and said, Well, Lord, I've kept the talent you gave to me, and because you are a very hard and difficult man, and so on and so forth. And this is the judgment of the Lord that we have read just now in verse 30. It says, That unprofitable servant, that slothful servant, shall be sent to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We said to you last time that this outer darkness is not hell. It's not a lake of fire. And we said to you that the people are sent to outer darkness are God's people. And you will see this in the scriptures in many ways. His servant. And then to confirm this, if you look at Matthew 22:11-14, and let me read that again. And it says, And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. We also like to say this one has already been invited. The only reason why he was sent into outer darkness, but he didn't have the wedding garment on. We have also explained this. The wedding garment is the righteousness of the saint. It's the covering of the Lord and his nature over the soul of man to make us to become part of his bride. So we'll say this person that here that was cast into outer darkness was a Christian. It's only that he was one of the foolish virgins. You'll remember that the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one didn't have the oil in their vessels, which we have explained in this place, meaning the salvation of the soul. They didn't have the garment, so they could not be part of the bride. And that's why we believe that it's not every believer that will be part of his bride. After being born again, there's a price to pay. There's a walking with God. There's the laying down of the soul. There's the salvation of the soul that one must walk in and follow the Lord for him to become part of his bride. So we also see the Christian who will not make up his bride will be sent to outer darkness. You will see this in many, many other scriptures. This description, outer darkness, for those of you who want to follow it up, you will see it in Luke chapter 13, verse 24 to 30. You will see it again in Luke 12, verse 42 to 46, and so on and so forth. You will see this description, outer darkness, and you will see that those who are sent to outer darkness are not unbelievers. they are the people of God. Because Jesus said that the sons of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom. For instance, in Matthew chapter 8, from verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom, underline that word, the children of the kingdom shall be cast where? Out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see now, those who are cast into the outer darkness are the children of the kingdom. So we see here, they are the ones that are sent there. I'm sure we're trying to establish, because we need to understand this before we go on to explain the judgment of the nations. Now you also see in Matthew chapter 13, and we will see the difference between being sent into outer darkness and being sent into a lake of fire. Matthew chapter 13, verse 30, and then I will read from verse 30 and then go to verse 40 to 42. It says, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And I'll read in now from verse 40 to 42. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we see here again the difference. These ones, the tares, were sent into fire, into the lake of fire to be burnt. And then, but you will never see a scripture showing that those who were God's people, for their failure, they were sent into fire, but they were sent into outer darkness, at least at this level. As we see the scripture, we will see at what point can a Christian who has faith can miss it and go to hell. That is also a possibility in the word of God. But we just want you to see the difference. And we have explained that the outer darkness is when those who are shut out for the period of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That is the outer darkness. They will not be allowed to be part of that 1,000-year reign of Christ, because they have failed to do one thing or the other. You remember the passage we read, I said, many are called but few are chosen. So it means it's those who are called, but they did not fulfill their calling. They did not pursue their calling. They did not follow to the end. And you remember in the book of Revelation, those who are called, those who are chosen, and those who are faithful. One thing to be called, one thing to be chosen, and another thing to be faithful. Those who are called, but they never go on to make their election sure, the calling and the election show, and those who are not faithful, of course, are the ones that we will see in the pages of the scriptures, that they are sent into outer darkness. And outer darkness means they will not be part of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I hope you understand this. And then we have seen in that Matthew 13, those who are sent into a lake of fire, the tares, the seed of the wicked one, at this level. As we open more scripture, we will see as we go on. So, having established that, we can go to what we are looking at today. You will see that immediately in this Matthew that we are considering today, Matthew 25, from verse 30, let's go back to it again. We need to take time to understand this clearly. You will see that immediately Jesus ended up saying, send that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. From verse 31, he said that in Matthew 25, verse 30, and then from verse 31, he began to talk about the judgment of the nations. From that point, he was talking about when he will have returned, and like we said earlier, and he will be sitting by that time on the throne of his glory. So we can see that the judgment seat of Christ will precede this judgment. He would have judged his people. We're just going over them again. The judgment seat of Christ will have taken place, and then after that, we know what will then happen. That's the tribulation and all that will happen. And then the Lord will come. One of the first things we do will be to judge the nations. And we see here that judgment of the nation we have read out from Matthew 25, from verse 31. Now, When we see this, we need to look at this. What does the law mean here about this judgment of the nations? The word really does judgment of the Gentiles. So we can say this judgment we are considering from verse 31 is about the judgment of the Gentile nations or the Gentiles. Now, in the scripture, we have only three kinds of people in this sense. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This will help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want us to see this classification of people here. I read verse 32 and it says, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. So we see this classification here, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. So the judgment seat of Christ at this point that we have looked at will be for the church, and then there is going to be the judgment of the Jews, and then there is going to be the judgment of the Gentiles, the judgment of the nations. And then we'll see this as we go on. You will see that this judgment has to do with their treatment of the Jews. Jesus used the word here, my brethren. In this sense, he's using it specifically. We know that the people, the church, are his brethren, but he's using the word specifically here for the Jews, my brethren. The reason for this judgment is that people, nations are going to be judged according to their attitude and treatment of the Jews. And you will notice the reason why this will be important for us to understand is because the Jews, towards the end of this age, the Jews are going to go through serious judgment or tribulation or persecution. In fact, the scripture described that what the Jews are yet to go through that has never happened before. We know in history that Jews have gone through many, many things. The one they went through under Hitler, the persecution and the gas chambers and all that they have gone through, and so many other things they have gone through in history. But the scripture shows that what they are yet to go through towards the end is still far more greater, and we are going to look at the scriptures. It is when they are going through this persecution, this tribulation, this judgment, that God is going to look at what is the reaction of the nations towards them. Those of us, you will remember during the Second World War, under Hitler, that you find that the Jews were persecuted. We know that there are many nations in Europe that took in some Jews. Some risked their lives to protect them. Some even died for protecting the Jews. But we have recorded many families or communities that saw what was happening to the Jews, and they took them in and looked after them, and particularly their children and so on and so forth. So we see it has happened before and it's going to happen again. But we are saying what the Jews are yet to undergo, what they are yet to suffer, is far greater. And the scripture says there's never been anything like that. And therefore, as at that time too, we believe that just like there were people who rose up then to protect some of the Jews, at this time of the great tribulation, of a very terrible tribulation that will come upon the Jews, there will be individuals, there will be nations, there will be communities that will rise up to protect them and to cover them. And so we see that this judgment that we have read here in Matthew is going to be based on the attitude. It's going to be from the beginning, but particularly this particular period will be the time for God to make up his mind concerning his judgment, concerning the nations of the earth. And so in order for us to understand this, I think it's good for us to also see what the Jews will be going through so that we can truly understand what Jesus is talking here about this judgment. If you see here, and Jesus said, by that time, I will say to you, I was hungry, I was naked, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, and you did not take care of me, you did not visit me, you did not clothe me, you did not. And then they will wonder, why is it that you are saying they will never saw you? And the Lord will say them, because as long as you have done it, either for against my brethren, which are the Jews in particular. And the judgment here also will not be just a judgment that has to do with the whole nation. It has to do with individuals, because you can find in a nation a group of people, families in a nation, that will go out of their way and risk their life to protect the Jews during this time of tribulation. Of course, such will be spared of God's judgment. But it also will be, there will be individual nations that will take a stand against the Jews, that will persecute them, and God will then have to judge them. You also recall in the Old Testament scripture, scripture that even for the descendants of Esau, who are called the Edomites, because the Bible said they helped in the day that Jerusalem was plundered and Jerusalem was destroyed. They helped the enemies of the Jews to destroy Jerusalem. For that reason, God said they will be judged. So we can see, like I've always been saying, when you know, you can look back and say, how did God judge in the past? And then that can help us to know how we judge in the future. The scripture said the judgment over Sodom and Gomorrah, it is an example of how God will always judge ungodliness. So we know that God judged even those who we said were blood relations to the Jews because of their attitude at the time of God's judgment, at the time of their calamity. The sons of Esau, they helped to destroy them, and God counted this as iniquity and as unrighteousness, and because of this they were judged for it. And I believe that we should look at that, and at that scripture. The scripture is Obadiah. It's just one chapter in the Old Testament. It's a book talk between Amos and Jonah, and I want to read it. Obadiah, I want to read from verse 6 down to verse 14. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There's none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Tamar, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In that day thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the stranger carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gate, and cast lot upon Jerusalem, even thou was one of them. But thou shouldest not have look upon the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the days of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked upon the affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. So we can see here, we've taken time to read this from this passage, to see the attitude of a descendant of Esau. They are the one that is referred to here as the Edomite, or they are the one that even referred to as Teman, and so on and so forth. So, but we can see here what they did was that when Israel was judged, yes, it was God judging Israel, sending King Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem, but they stood that day to help the Babylonians to those who are escaping, they captured them for the Babylonians. They also enter into Jerusalem to plunder Jerusalem, to plunder the temple. And this is the judgment of God upon them, that they shall be judged. We can see here that the word here in verse 10, he said, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. So we see here, like we have always said on this program, we can look at the yesterday, how God judged yesterday, and we can understand how we will judge today and how we will judge tomorrow. So what Jesus said about the judgment of the nations, it is because at the time that Israel or the Jews will go through similar or greater persecution, well, God will watch over the nations, and their attitude towards Israel, what they will do at that time, will determine that judgment immediately when the Lord comes and is seated upon the throne of his glory, like we have read in the book of Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. And we're going to look at this further next week, because we want to see the scriptures that show that what the Jews will still yet go through in the days ahead. So that this will help us, peradventure you and I will still be here, and we should understand that God watches over the nation of Israel. We have shown you the classification of God according to the scripture, the church, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. So we see that the judgment seat of Christ is for the church, but Jews are going to pass through their own judgment through the tribulation that's coming, and then the Gentiles will also stand before the judgment, before the seat of Christ's judgment, the judgment at the seat of his glory, rather, as is put in that scripture for us. By next week, we are going to look at those scriptures that will show to us what the Jews will actually pass through. I hope that by seeing this, we can see, may the Lord help all of us. Possibly we will be here when this tribulation will come. Our attitude, what we do towards the Jews, also will form the basis for God's judgment of individuals, of nations, and we can see from history what God has done in the past and what God will still do. We hope that in bringing this to us again, we have been helped to understand the scripture. Remember, listener, we are dealing with eternal judgment, and as we go back to that scripture in Matthew 25, we know that the issue here that we are dealing with is the issue of eternal judgment. See what it says there, and it says in 5:45, "Then shall he answer them," I'm reading Matthew 25 and then from verse 45, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So there's everlasting punishment, there's eternal life. We ask that the Lord will bless us. We ask that as we see these things, the word of the Lord will become the knife that circumcises our hearts so that we can live in the fear of God. The scripture says, by the fear of God, men depart from iniquity. One of the things that the Lord wants to teach us is to fear him, and we begin to learn his fear as we see his word, as we see his judgment. We've always said on this program, it is God's first response to us is not to judge us. It's only when we continue in our ways and iniquity and in our rebellion that he judges. His way is not to judge us. But we are saying also that God judges now, and he asks us to apply our hearts to judgment so that we will not be judged in the days to come, so that we will not face eternal punishment out of his judgment. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness.